Talk About on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. Working closely with suppliers to produce only the finest quality, locally sourced meat and fish for our menus.
And you're very welcome back to Talk About with Mary Gallagher. Now, podiatrist Anne-Marie Horgan of the Tralee Podiatry Clinic is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Anne-Marie.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good, good. Plenty of questions coming into you. Now, I did email you on one earlier. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it.
I just saw it 2 seconds ago.
So this person says their son hurt his foot in soccer. He was never put in a boot but did rest it for 3 weeks. He was constantly on anti-inflammatories. He now has an app with the appointment even with the sports clinic in Santry. Is it a waste of time at this stage? He still hobbles and is in pain, and she has attached the MRI that he got done, the results of it.
Yeah, I had a read of it. So basically the MRI, it's just severe inflammation going on. He has a medial lateral, as in minute tear. So there is obviously inflammation now. It is only 3 weeks. And even though he has rested it, normally I would put somebody into a boot. It's just to immobilize the joint. So when somebody does an injury like that, like, it also depends what exactly did he do during soccer, as in what happened with the ankle. So one of the main things is to keep the person non-weight bearing. So like the space boot just kind of takes the weight off the ankle joint, because the ankle joint has to take, with space on this 10 stone, that ankle has to hold that load. So just by putting him into a boot, it'll just stabilize and just offload, as in offload the pressure, and then it'll just give it time to kind of settle. But like, if normally any patient like that, if they send in emails to us, I really do have to see them. So I have to see exactly what's going on, as in what was the cause of the problem the first day. So if somebody has a weakness in their ankle joint, especially during sport, and they're prone to it, then obviously we'd fix that weakness and we'd stabilize the ankle joint back up. But it, like, going to Santry with the MRI report, look, like, I do think it's a waiting game. I'd wait another 3 weeks anyway, and I'd definitely book an appointment to come in. But like, it technically, if you go to that level of practitioner, like an orthopedic or whoever, they're going to offer you physio, are going to offer you a steroid injection, x-ray, MRI, and that's really it, because it's a waiting game, it has to heal. But also it's to stop it from happening, and to figure out what exactly caused it day one.
Okay.
So that would be the main kind of point.
Okay. Another person says, I have a 2-year-old girl who I feel has legs that go out when she's running, and she's very clumsy. I know there's something not right. Is she too young to be seen?
No. Always, like even though somebody bring, even though a parent will bring in a 2-year-old, I wouldn't necessarily intervene, because they are very young at the end of the day. And if we intervene that young, we're doing all the work and then they're doing nothing. So what actually happens is that they actually get lazier. So like, normally we kind of give them either a starter off kind of stabilizing cup. It's not made for the patient, it's not intrusive, it's just something is better than nothing. So like, if somebody's legs are kind of rotating out, you must think, nappies, she's not walking that long. Fair enough, if she's clumsy, then obviously there is kind of something going on with the gait, so we'd have a look at that. But normally we kind of keep an eye on her, so we'd bring them in on a yearly basis, so 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, and then we keep an eye. And then if we do need to progress them to a device or stability boots or trainers, and then we try and implement some exercise, like a little bit of swimming, and try and get them on a balance bike, and you know, just try and build a bit of strength back into those legs. But no, definitely not. If you, the sooner you bring somebody in, the better it is for the patient.
Okay. Another person says, my son has toes which are crossing over each other. The GP said he'll grow out of it, but I don't think that's right. Can you help in any way, or should he be seen?
So when it comes to kind of toes crossing over, like, you've got 5 toes, they should be straight. So that's common sense. So when it comes to if there's a joint, normally toes override or they underride. So override basically means going over. We say the big toe, and underride means it's going under. Now 90% of patients come in have override digits, and normally they're lazy. So it's always, the bottom line is that they have excessively flat feet, which is causing pressure on the big toe, and then the big toe is turning, so the second toe is lifting, which causes it to override. That's normally the kind of diagnosis of most of them coming in. But also it can be as in from birth, but if it's on 2 feet, it's probably not. If it's on one foot, it could be. But like, you know, we can't really intervene that much. But always with that, I always teach the parent how to strap the digit back into place. So ideally, you do what's called a crossover strap, and you just basically pull the toe back down straight, and you would repeat that strapping every single day. Now, there is a device that we give out to adults. It's called a toe fix, and I don't give the kids, because they're not going to wear it, they're not going to be compliant. So the strapping is the kind of easiest, most quickest thing doing in the morning, and that will train then kind of longitudinal muscle behind it, and it'll just pull the toe. That little bit, the strapping will get tighter and tighter kind of over the weeks, and normally then once they start weight bearing and start kind of getting more active, then that will help with straightening of the toe. But look, ideally any kid like that with an overriding digit, they should come in, because the only way it's going to get is lazier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Person says, just wondering, is there any help for bunions? My big toe gets very sore and can't get wide-fitting shoes.
There is loads of wide-fitting shoes out there. You go to most shops, they're pretty clued in when you go in. Like if you have any devices or any orthotics or any plates or anything like that, you'd have to bring it in with you. But like, there's loads of brands of shoes. Like, I'm always banging on about the Brooks, so they come in a medium wide and extra wide. Then you have other brands like G Comfort, you've got the Ramontes, you've got Waldorf, or you've got all these other brands, and they are, I think in the last kind of 5 years, shops are a lot more open to, you know, the wide fitting footwear that fits the kind of little bit more difficult, because a lot of shoe brands now have kind of gone narrower. But like, the main thing with a bunion is that basically a bunion is a protrusion of your bone, so it's where the bone is kind of exposed, and you lose a little bit of fat on the big toe. So if you wear kind of tight shoes or anything like that, it is a lot more restrictive, and it causes pressure. So if the bunion is red in the evening time, that means your shoes are too narrow. So always, like, you know, when people do buy shoes, you should always check the bunion to make sure it's not bulging out. And always, like, people assume that just because it says wide on a box, that doesn't mean that wide is for you, because you have a different big foot to the next wide person. So it's all about getting to know your brands, and once you find the brand, I'd always say, and once you always find one shoe, you should buy two of them, because they got aftermarket mixture. But like, you should have a kind of a soft kind of pair of trainers. Puppets are another good brand that's selling watches, but the Puppets, I like them because they're nice, they're light, they're not clunky, and they're super for bunions. And you should have a pair of trainers and then a kind of a wide fitting pair of shoes, and that should hold you.
Yeah, actually someone was asking if you could name a few brands of wide fitting shoes. So the Brooks, yeah. And the, is it Propex?
Yeah, look, you've got G Comfort is another brand. You've got Waldorfer, which I quite like. What else have you got? Some of the Gabors are quite wide. Even the Rolling Soft, they're normally suitable for bunions. Ramonte, which is owned by Ryker, they're quite good. I wear those boots myself and I find them good. And what else is there? Like, some of the Echoes can be wide. Now, I feel they've gotten a bit narrow. Some of them. Like, even if you go into the Clark's website and if you type in just wide in the search bar, you'll see what wide shoes they have. So, like, it, presuming something is wide is not good enough, because all the companies are all different. But, like, a lot of the brands would have a wider kind of section of shoes. Another brand will be Yana. They've got a wide section of their footwear, and some of their shoes can be quite trendy. But, like, it's all, like I said, everyone has different widths of feet, so it's just finding out what brand kind of suits you.
Okay. Someone says, just wondering, is there any... Oh, that's the bunions. We've had that one. Just another one is, any advice on frozen feet? I find it hard this time of year, as I've constantly got cold feet. Even in bed, I have to wear socks. Now, I don't know if this is for you or if it's for Dr. Eamon.
not just for me, but yeah, look, especially in the last week, patients are coming in, and you know, obviously I'm touching feet all day, so like, their feet are frozen, especially if their circulation is compromised or if they haven't got that much fat on their feet. And I'd always compare one leg off the other leg just to test. But like, this time of the year, you know, if you are wearing trainers, like, trainers don't really hold in heat. So if you're wearing a leather pair of trainers, yes, they will. So a lot of the trainers are gone very meshy and gone very kind of aerated, where they have little kind of minute holes at the front. So obviously the wind is going to cut through that. And if you haven't got much fat in your feet, then obviously your feet are going to go straight away cold. But like, there's a couple of, like, is there a reason why somebody has compromised circulation? That can be just due to age. It could be due to weight. It could be due to an underlying condition. It could be if somebody had Raynaud's or Chilblains. What else? It can be, like, there's numerous kind of factors. I'd always kind of look at the patient as a whole, but then how do we protect the foot then from the cold? So you can look at kind of leather footwear, extra padding inside the footwear kind of holds heat. You can get heat molded insoles. There is a kind of a heat band you can get, but I'm not really a fan of that, because that's false. It can last for half an hour and that's it. You know, you can get kind of dual skin socks, as in double layers. So the double layer will just act like a duvet effect on the bed. exercise more, get your heart pumping, which will pump the blood to your peripheries, which is probably the most important point. And like it's kind of numerous factors. Obviously, if you're walking around the house barefoot, obviously your feet are going to be cold. But the main kind of thing would be kind of padded shoes, exercise, maybe buy yourself a kind of a sheepskin or a heat molded insole, which would, it's all about trapping heat. So that's the main thing.
Okay. Breda, in her 60s, has what seems like a corn between her small toe and the next toe. She says it's quite sore as it's rubbing off the toes. Would a corn plaster help, or does she need to see somebody?
Look, corn plasters, and I know I say don't use them, but I know people do use them. So you're dealing with humans at the end of the day. So a corn plaster is, it'll take the cap off a corn. It won't take the corn out. So it contains salicylic acid. So if you're a diabetic, you're not meant to use corn plaster. It's full stop. So, or if you have any other kind of compromised circulation or Raynaud's or anything like that, you're not meant to use anything that contains a caustic over the counter. So a corn plaster contains salicylic acid. It's a caustic. It burns. So it burns the cap off. So if you leave it on too long, we've seen many of the patients coming in with burns. So from corn plasters. So they can be severe in some cases, and other cases patients use them on a regular basis. Ideally, you should come into somebody and get your, like if it's in between the two toes, the small toe and the fore toe, you're getting the corn because the two toes are banging off each other. It's as simple as that. So normally we'd kind of make you either a silicone device, and first of all we'd remove the corn, and then we'd figure out where the corn is coming, and then we try and stop the corn from coming back. So that's the main objective. But like you can buy little corn rings, which are probably better. So if she puts on a corn ring over the corn, and they're different out of corn plaster, just like a little kind of donut plaster, and if she puts the corn in the centre of that, it'll just stop the two toes from rubbing, it'll just take away some of the soreness, and maybe put on some sort of kind of antiseptic cream just to kind of soften the hardness of it. But and otherwise ideally she should come in, because we normally try and stop things like that from happening.
Okay. A person says, my husband has a heel spur and it's very painful. Is there anything he can do with to help with the pain? He tried a golf ball, but that's not helping at all. What would be the next option? She says he's a taxi driver, but also works in a bar.
Yeah. So a golf ball is no good for a heel spur, because a heel spur is a bony prominence, and then you're rubbing a ball over a bony prominence, you're probably actually driving it nuts. So a couple of things there. Heel spurs come normally, 9 times out of 10, they come because of a biomechanical issue. So something has changed over the years. So as we get older, our bones shift and they move, and we get smaller and our feet collapse. And so when you get kind of an exostosis, when you get thickening of the bone in the heel, it's very closely associated with plantar fasciitis, which are two very kind of similar conditions, but they have the same symptoms. But for a heel spur, you could try the lesser option first. They would be to buy some gel heel cups. You can get them inside whatever sports direct or any sports shop. Put in some gel heel cups, introduce a little bit of stretching, and then if that doesn't resolve, like if he's standing in a bar, let's say if he's at it for a number of years, I don't know, but like normally your mechanics change after a job of standing. So like mechanically, people who come in with heel spurs, we say they always kind of come here last, and then we figure out then you've got very flat feet, and then we have to fix the flat feet, and that then will eradicate the symptoms of the heel spur. So like ideally he should come in for a check if he's been, if it's affecting him in his daily life, and we say if he can't go for a walk or affect him standing in the bar, then yes, obviously he should come to someone. Okay. It's not going to go away by itself.
Okay.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney, working closely with suppliers to produce only the finest quality locally sourced meat and fish for our menus.
And you're very welcome back to Talk About, and we have podiatrist Anne-Marie Horgan on the phone taking your questions. We'll get straight back to them. A person asks, any recommendation for a big toe nail fungal infection?
Normally if it's just the big toe, it's probably damaged, because if somebody has a fungal infection, it migrates to the second toe, third, fourth, fifth. So you must think fungi is like it's little spores, and normally they transfer with heat, sweat, and whatever. It's like combustion inside the shoe. So if it's just one toenail for a long period of time, then it is probably damaged, because people get confused. It has a similar presentation. So the only way to kind of figure out if it is 100% fungal is get a nail test done, go to your GP, get a nail sample done, sent off. Normally, if it comes back negative the first time, you do it again. And then if it comes back positive second or third, then obviously it's fungal infection. Okay. So it depends on the nail clipping, how good the actual, we said, the test is. So then, like, the options are you can try over-the-counter. Are they any good? Not really. Or else the other route is go down the medication route. But the only problem with that is they can be quite strong, and they can affect your liver, so I'm not a fan of that route. So you'd have to go for liver function tests every 3 months and blah, blah, blah. But look, like, aesthetically, if it bothers you aesthetically, then yes, obviously do something about it. If not, then no. But a lot of people come in after the summer and they have fungal nail infections, and it's like, and they leave on nail varnish for the last 3 months. Of course, your fungal infection is going to get worse. So it's going to migrate under the nail varnish. So, like, you have to kind of, remove all nail varnish, clean all your footwear, figure out why did you get the fungal infection, is it a fungal infection, and then kind of figure out the route then from there.
Okay. A person says, as my nails grow, they turn in at the sides and punch the side of my toes till I get them cut again. Any advice?
That's involutus. So involutus is, like, everyone thinks their nails are straight across, they're not. So you hear the old wives saying, oh, cut your nails straight across. No, some people have a curvature of their nail plate and they have T-shaped nails, so they have to cut them round. So if the sides are punching in, that is, it's called nail involution. And basically, they can be a lot more problematic because as we get older, our nails kind of thicken, and that involution will progress, and it'll become more pinched down the side. So, like, if you're getting regular ingrown toenails, the short term option would be come into us, and then we narrow down the two sides. The long term option will be then to have nail surgery, which will remove the side permanently. You stop that kind of section. Normally they remove kind of 2 millimeters each side, and you stop the sides that are punching out, and you stop them growing permanently, which will be the ideal long term solution, because otherwise you're wasting your money. So it depends, is it 100% an involution nail, or, like, if you can manage it yourself and just keep the sides clear and just remove a little bit of nail, then do that. Until it becomes a problem, then obviously come into it.
Okay. South Kerry caller in her 70s has calluses in both feet, and her feet are very cold. She finds runners very cold and leather extremely cold on her feet, and she doesn't like boots. Could the podiatrist recommend any warmer shoes for her, especially for the winter?
Yeah, something like boots. Look, there is insoles you can get. If you go into any kind of medical store, you go into you can get kind of the sheepskin, or you can get any of the insoles that are specifically for diabetics. They're all porous and they hold heat. So normally you can go for a covering that has a red pore on. So it's a bit like a kind of a duvet effect, and it's all about trapping heat. So as we get older, we lose the fat on our feet. So, like, we need to add a kind of a duvet effect. So, like, the more padded the shoe, the better. As in double-layered kind of socks, yes, they will help keep the feet warm. Moving a little bit more will keep the blood circulating to the peripheries. So, leather shoes, really, I'd go for the more kind of leather trainers, because the padding will be thicker in a leather trainer than a leather shoe. So I'd go for more kind of some of the Vopets are quite good. They're kind of a French trainer brand, and they're a trainer type shoe, and they're quite, patients find them quite warm, but you can also get kind of these heat packs that you can put underneath the kind of insoles and stuff like that. But in general, it's a bit of everything that keeps your feet warm. It's not just one solution.
Caller says she also had a heel problem, I think agreeing with one of the questions we had, and got an insole called Strive in the shoe shop in the Stole, and they say it's wonderful. Yeah. So maybe just passing on a bit of advice there to someone.
Yeah, Strive is it's a UK brand. It's they do kind of supportive kind of footwear. They're promoted by podiatrists. See, people must understand, not everyone needs an orthotic or a plate. Some people come in and an off-the-shelf DIY job insole is just as good, because their feet might be as flat. So, even if you buy a Strive insole, or if you buy an insole from the pharmacy, that can suit some patients, but other patients need more than that, and that's then when an orthotic comes in. So it's all about prescriptions. So it's like the person goes into Tesco to buy glasses, but they might need to go down to the optician and get prescription glasses. So there's two different variations of patient types coming in.
Okay. A person says, when do I need to get new orthotics, as I have them 5 years and my legs are causing me pain for the past 6 months and I've stopped walking?
that's obviously you need a new pair, not being smart. But like orthotics, it depends. Everyone is kind of different. Some people get more mileage out of orthotics. It depends on your body weight, your job, your activity, your footwear. So like normally every kind of 2 years they should be changed. If you're on something all day every day, and you say you're 10, 12 stone or whatever, that plate does break down. And then if people are only one pair, you're caught. So ideally people should have two pairs, so you alternate between the two, so you'd have a slimmer pair and a bulkier pair. But like, of course, something after 5 years, if you're on them all day every day, they have to break down. So the strength goes, and then when the strength goes, what actually happens is the foot starts to spread again, and the foot will actually go flatter. So basically when it comes to kind of orthotics, like, you should be getting checked and you should be getting reviewed. Like, normally we do a recall here for patients every 2 years. Okay. So you get an automatic text and we'd recall you back in.
Okay. I think we might squeeze in one more before we have to finish. Someone says, can you ask about a drop foot after a stroke I had 3 years ago? I feel it's getting weaker and would like some advice.
Yeah, so a drop foot basically is where the foot, you get kind of a foot slap. So after a stroke, or sorry, no, the drop has gone off here. So after a foot, after a stroke, basically, you lose the kind of strength, we're saying, whenever the side got affected. So when the foot is dropping, it can cause kind of, we say, tripping or instability, or the leg is getting lazy. Or so when it comes to fixing that, where we can help it, we will never fix it, but like there's strengthening exercises you can do. We'd look at footwear, then we put somebody into a leaf brace, so it's a spring that we attach to your shoe, and then so that lifts up the front of the shoe, so it basically stops you from tripping, which patients find very good. But I would try and do the other one first before we put you into a leaf spring.
Okay.
But sometimes patients then would wear a leaf spring, just kind of go to town, where they're hopping on footpaths, and then they'd kind of do their own work, and they go without it then at home, which they find kind of balances it up better.
Okay, well, look, Anne-Marie, we have to leave it there. Thanks for getting through all of those queries, and you'll be back with Deirdre, I think, later on in this month. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks a million.
No problem. Anne-Marie Horgan there of the Tralee Podiatry Clinic, and we will hold over all of the questions we didn't get to for the next time Anne-Marie was on. Thanks to Padraig on the phones and Pat, who was on sound.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney, working closely with suppliers to produce only the finest quality, locally sourced meat and fish for our menus.